Let us turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. Nurturing God's children. We know that nurturing children is not an easy job, so is nurturing God's children. The Apostle Paul had been guided by God to visit the modern Balkan Peninsula. He started with the city of Philippi, then the Lord brought the apostle to the city of Thessalonica. The city of Philippi is to remember the father of Alexander the Great. The city of Thessalonica is to remember the sister of Alexander the Great. And the Apostle Paul and his co-worker met with opposition. He met the opposition from the pagan in the city of Philippi. In the city of Thessalonica, he met with the opposition from the Jews, those who are supposed to know the Bible, those who are supposed to know the truth, the custodian of the revelation of God. But the Jews hated the Apostle Paul and his co-worker because by the preaching of the gospel, according to Acts 17, and some of them believed and consulted with Paul and Silas. There were a great number of God-fearers, the Gentile believers in Judaism, and the Apostle Paul reasoned with them. Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. This is the Messiah, which the Old Testament have been prophesied many times. Messiah already came. He died for us, died for our sins, and rose again from the dead. And some of them believed and consulted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. See, the Jews are very angry because a big crowd was being sort of thrown away from following Judaism and follow this strange teaching, so-called. And of the chief women, not a few, and this chief woman, we believe, is the lead. They are from the upper class of the society. They are the influential people. So the Jews are not happy. All this sort of a big number of people follow you and this new teaching, and these people are from quite a number from the upper class. So they were not happy, and the Jews over there, they called the bad characters to come to stir up a trouble in the city. They wanted to drag the Apostle Paul but couldn't find him by God's providence. So they dragged the Jason, this man who housed Apostle Paul, and dragged him to the local official. The local official there is more reasonable. They accept the accusation reasonably, and they did not beat up the apostle, but rather they put him on bail, maybe give a fine, and let the apostle go. And the apostle got to leave the city of Thessalonica since he landed there. Just a few weeks, and thank God the church there grew. The church there stood for the gospel, and they followed the Lord. Even the Apostle Paul and his co-workers stayed for a few weeks there, but nevertheless, they have been receiving the teachings of the Apostle Paul. The enemies of the Apostle Paul accused the Apostle as being deceitful, unclean, and they use flattering words in order to win the big crowd and the influential people in the upper class of the Thessalonican society. They say Apostle Paul was covetous, that's why he wanted to win over the rich man, the rich woman in this context. so that they will have a big income. And these are the accusations of the enemies. But the Apostle Paul said, no, we nurture the children of God like father and mother. The Apostle Paul gave them the gospel and they became children of God. They were united with the Lord Jesus Christ by believing in the gospel. And they become God's children and they grow from stage to stage just like human life. And they grow into maturity. And Apostle Paul says, we treated them like our children. Even though they are God's children, we know that this sheep or these children are entrusted to us by God. And we are but the caretakers. But the Apostle Paul says, we feed and care for them like mother. You know, mother is a very self-sacrificial job. Not many people want to stay home as mothers. Love. Mothers put their children to childcare because of work and etc. We know that mothers spend a lot of time. A mother from a beautiful lady, a beautiful young wife have grown become an old lady. Isn't it? The Chinese has a word for it called Huang Nian Po, yellow-faced woman. Meaning it doesn't speak well. Okay, because of the busyness at home, take care of house, your children, A to Z, endless job, 360 days a year, no rest. So we know that this is a time-consuming job to spend time with children. And the Apostle Paul says, we are gentle, we are being tender and considerate. And mothers have a tender approach to the children, usually. When children got something to tell the parents, they usually go to mother first. Tell mother first. Mother will be more sympathetic, concerned for the well-being of other instead of severe and hard in contrast with the father, especially the old-time father. Anything the mother tried to hide, don't let the father know. The father will take the cane. The father even give the teacher a cane to cane the son or the daughter. The mother was soft-spoken, but we must not think soft-spoken is useless, not effective. The book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 25, a soft tongue can break a bone. I remember many, many years ago when the leader of the Chinese party, he could travel south to visit with an old lady. And this old lady is the mother of the prominent businessman in the country. He needs the help of this prominent businessman to resolve an issue. So he went to talk to the mother. And of course, the mother talked to the son, and the son agreed. The mother has a very influential, is very influential in the life of the children. Many children still remember that even though they have grown old. Oh, mother. Whatever mother says, we follow. So the grace of God have touched the apostle. As the apostle think of the self-sacrifice and tender love exemplified by nursing mothers to care for fellow Christians. He saw an example that was inspiring to care for fellow Christians, especially the young Christians. The young Christians, like babes in Christ, they need tender care. Let us see what we can do to help them to grow into Christian maturity. You know, when we are in our babyhood, we are very childish. We need a lot of attention. We need a lot of care. But the mother would spare no effort in caring for us, sacrificing their sleeping time, isn't it? Before a woman got married, she may sleep for a long time, many hours. But once she became a mother, the instinct tell her to wake up early, to begin to care for the family, to care for the children especially. Sometimes when the children are in fever or sickness, the mother have a sleepless night. The mother will, in those days, there's no wet tissue. The mother will take the wet handkerchief and keep wiping the forehead of the children. Sleepless night. And the mother will plan what we'll do next day, how to bathe the children, how to feed the children, what kind of dishes to cook. And this is the same way in the Christian ministry, in taking care of the church members, feeding the truth according to their level of maturity. Just as mother does not emphasize on her dignity when meeting the needs of a baby, neither did the apostle lord his authority over the Thessalonians' new believers as he was shepherding them into faith and godliness. There's no question that the Bible exhorted us to honor the servants of the gospel. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of the double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine." But they are also being exalted, neither being lost over God's heritage, just being examples to the flock. So the Apostle Paul was not lording over the flock. He did not take advantage of them. He did not covet anyone's possession. So he asked the enemies, he asked the Thessalonians to, "You can see whether in my life there's such elements." The apostle also affectionate to the Thessalonians. See, mother got a very special instinct. I mean, love, the love for the children. For her own children, the babe that was being in her body for about 10 months, when the baby was delivered, the mother loved her children, the baby she has delivered, isn't it? And people say, not beautiful, the mother thinks she's the most beautiful baby. And the mother kissed the baby, isn't it? Kissed many times. This is the best baby in the world. Because there's a child. There's a natural affection. So being affectionate desires of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. And the Apostle Paul says, these are not people we can merchandise. These are not the people we can siphon wealth. These are not people we can take advantage of. But we really care for them, even we give our life to them. Because when the Apostle Paul was preaching in the city of Thessalonica, he was put into danger, isn't it? Thank God they could not find him. Just like the man who preached the gospel in my hometown. And this pastor, he was bold in his witness, and some people in the hometown hated him. And he brought one of the young men to do God's work in another town. He came with the van every Sunday or Saturday afternoon. So this mother was very angry. This is a pagan mother, the mother of the believer. So I prepared a broom for him. So if I see him, I hit him, you know. I didn't give face to him. So I prepared the broom, but when the time came, he couldn't find the broom. He searched and the broom up and down. Couldn't find him. Couldn't find the broom. And if the mother will find the broom, I think the pastor will be in danger. He'll be humiliated in front of the neighborhood at least, if not in the town. So the Apostle Paul risked his life and the co-worker's life. We do not know where the apostle was, but we know that the apostle, by the mercy of God, spared from the mob. Imagine the scenario. If the mob were to catch the Apostle Paul and Silas, his co-worker, what would they do? Would they have a demonstration marching around the city first, before they bash them up? The Apostle Paul did not crave for the money for the Thessalonian believers, but he desired that the believers themselves, which is because his love for them and his longing to meet them, Paul has come to see these believers of the objects of divine love. These are the sheep, the special object of God's love. Even though there's no blood relationship, no race racial relationship between a Jew and a Greek. And this pagan, this Paul was a Jewish rabbi who knew the word of God, and these people don't know it at all. But the Apostle Paul loved them because of Christ's sake. He took special care of them, helped them to grow whatever that he can. because the objects of love of the servants of God also. If the new believers, if the new believers are the objects of God's love, so they should be the objects of the love of God's servant, isn't it? We take care of them because of Christ, even though these are not our children. Okay? So we see these are the affection of the apostle in nursing the children of God. Because of his affection for the Thessalonians, the apostle could point to the sacrificial character of his service. Since they desire the believers for Christ, and because they have become very dear to him, they share not only the good news with them, but also themselves. People say this is stupid, isn't it? In the eyes of the worldly people, this is stupid, because you got no relationship with them. But the servants of God do many so-called stupid things for Christ's sake, because of God's love, God's affection. And here we see the example of the nursing mother is very instructive. She conforms her life around the life of a newborn in order to cater for the needs of the child, isn't it? She prepared the bedroom, she prepared the baby rag, and etc. Everything in the house oriented for the new arrival. She is delighted to give of her life to her children, isn't it? Many mothers do not regret of giving their life to their children because she just loves them. Why? Because you're my children. Isn't it? Because you're my children. Why you love me so much, spend so much money, so much time with me? Because you are my children. And love will cause a Christian to pour her life to Christ and his people. Christ is the head. His people is the body. You cannot say, I love your head, I don't love your body, isn't it? Can you say that? I love your hair only. I love your face only. I love your neck, but not your hand and your legs. No, you cannot do that. You love the person as a whole. So the Christians are being part of the body of Christ. The link to the head, you love the whole person. Christ is the head, and the rest are the members of the body. Secondly, fatherly example and exhortation. The apostle training his spiritual children to serve in the kingdom of Christ. The father usually will set the example. Usually in the family, the father will set the example. Of course, in some family, the mother set the example without the fatherly example. And these people have been saved by God, not because they sought God. There was a man who appeared in the dream, in a vision, to Apostle Paul. Come over and help us, isn't it? Come over to Macedonia. We do not know this man. But nevertheless, these are not the Thessalonians, isn't it? The Thessalonians, we are living in darkness, we never seek after God. We don't want God. When I was not a Christian, I don't think of God. I do not know how good is God and how good is their relationship with God. But rather, God sought them. God sought them. God rescued them and called them to himself. As their spiritual father, he set an example for them to follow. They can examine the life of the apostle. It is for all to see and observe. His life is open. Then they can find slanders against the apostles are malicious and have no basis. And look at verse 9 in chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because he would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. You see, it was a pattern of the Greek. In the Greek society, some people will come and give a nice speech or a nice talk. Then he collect a lot of money. Then off he goes. Isn't it? That's a tradition of the world. The Greeks are so good in their speech, they can really cause people to be mesmerized and give their wealth away. But Apostle Paul is not such a person. He was a hardworking preacher because in this instance, the church is still young, just a few weeks. He will not take any support from them, financial support, even though he could. But thinking of their tender age, their immaturity. And he do not want to be seen of taking advantage of anyone. He did not enrich himself in the service of God. Therefore, he refused the financial support from these new believers. Not that he cannot, but he chose not to do this. As a servant of the Lord, minister of the gospel, he could live on the gospel. But in this instance, he practiced his work as a tent maker. Right? That's why you have this term called tent maker, because as a student of the Jewish law, he could learn a skill. The Jewish rabbi said, if you do not teach your son to work, to learn a skill, actually you are teaching your son to steal. They learn a skill. The skill of Apostle Paul is to make the tent, a good tent, of the produce of the wool in his hometown, Tarsus. He does this. He worked day and night, so he preached the gospel in the night time, because in the night time, then people have some time for gathering. And he worked in the daytime, so to have some income to pay for his expenses. His aim to preach Christ and to bring salvation to others. He did not, like many celebrity preachers, they are out to enrich themselves. You can know from the way of their ministry how the merchandise, the very sacred things, even the ordinances. The apostle did receive financial support from the more established churches like Philippi, but he also worked tent making to support himself. He worked hard. The Thessalonica, the believers in Thessalonica should have seen it. The spiritual children should have witnessed the hard labor of the apostle. He worked very hard to provide for his spiritual children, just like any earthly father. And this is a very good example for the children to learn and to imitate, follow the apostle. You see, we do not teach much by what we say. We teach more by what we do. But we teach more by what we are. So we see, for the Christian growth, the Apostle Paul guided them to learn the gospel truth, to studying the Word of God, to pray, and to join in the church service and work. And this is the way to mature in the Christian faith. You see, of course, we read the Word of God, we pray to God, and God is invisible. Oftentimes, you do not see God give a visible audio, a voice that you can listen. You find that sometimes you find, for the young believer, don't know how true is my faith, they begin to doubt and wonder. But when you join the church, the elderly in the church, those who are more mature in Jesus Christ, they'll help you to grow in faith, isn't it? Like you go to school, you go to kindergarten, you don't know anything. But those who have been there for 1 year can guide you a bit, isn't it? You go to primary school, those who are senior can guide you a bit, can tell you some clue what to expect in the school and show you around, isn't it? So it is important for us to join the Christian community. We do not say, oh, this is my relationship between myself and God. Can we say that? When you want to come to get married, this is my relationship between me and God. I don't need others to witness my wedding. Do you say that? If something sorrowful happened in the family, do you hope that the Christian community will come around and give you some support? We do, isn't it? So we need to congregate with the fellow believers to serve God together, because we are a body life. And the Apostle Paul refused to change the good news to get more followers. He just preached the gospel truth just like that. He taught the gospel truth. He followed the divine revelation of God. We are sinners. We cannot save ourselves. We need the grace of God. We need Jesus Christ to save us. He died on the cross, shedding his precious blood to redeem us. And he rose again physically. Our sins are forgiven, and we are justified freely. So in verse 8, the Thessalonians have learned this from the apostolic example in witnessing the gospel.
So the Apostle Paul and his co-workers have demonstrated to the young believers how they should witness for the gospel. So they also follow. They model after the apostolic example. They also follow, and they themselves become a model. And later they speak their faith, their genuine faith was spoken around the region. So this is what we should do. From the simple things, we pattern after the apostolic example, we tell the young believers. Then they follow, and how that's how they learn, and they, later they become a model, and they also, by God's grace, can lead others to become disciples, not only believers, and see, we see that they see the truth, the gospel truth working in the apostle's life. That these believers might badmouth the apostle, but they can witness his holy living. Okay? His holy living. He's not a stammer. He's set apart to serve God. He's a holy man. His heart is leaned towards God, leaned towards for the glory of God, and he's righteous in dealing with other people. And the Apostle Paul was not a cheat in a marketplace. Isn't it? He treated others honestly. He sold his products, the tent making, honestly, never shortchanged others. He is blameless, not sinless. So there was no proof of the false accusations of the enemy. We find that wherever the gospel worked mightily, the enemies also worked mightily. Later, the Apostle Paul wanted to go back, but he could not, because Satan was opposing him. Can you imagine? Sometimes satanic opposition comes from the more so-called religious people. The pagan would not oppose so much, but the so-called religious people. We know that, but we thank God, Thessalonica, the church in Thessalonica become an exemplary church, a church that well-spoken in the region. And their witness is very strong. We thank God because the Apostle Paul had followed the Lord in nursing them. Nursing them gently, setting them a godly example as preacher, mother, and father. We know that this is time-consuming, isn't it? This is time-consuming. This is time-taking. This is painstaking. We know that children grow up, there are a lot of problems. We need the patience given by God. We need the wisdom given by God to nurse the children. In the same way, we need God's wisdom to nurse God's children into Christ-likeness, into Christian maturity, so that they will grow into Christian adulthood, bearing faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the nursing of the apostle and his co-workers. Lord, we thank thee for the labor, for the patience of our forefathers, our spiritual mothers, that have put into our lives, so that our life can be deeper in the Spirit, knowing the will of God, and learn how to please the Father more. We pray that thou may help us to have the same patience to those new believers in Christ, so that we may learn the apostolic way of dealing with them, gentle with them, and set them a godly example, so that they will grow into spiritual maturity, and in turn, they will be a good model for others to follow as they follow Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.